And we're going to look at this lady here and look at some things here and Elisha and see what Elisha did and how he ministered to him. And I've entitled the message here, Hand Me Another Jar. Hand me another jar. Hand me another jar. And I'm going to paint a picture here today with God's help, and hopefully that this visual, you'll open up your hearts and minds, and God will open up our eyes and our ears and bless us to receive the message that he has in store for us to receive today. 2 Kings chapter 4, and we'll look at verses 1 through 7. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you, Lord, that you know everything. You have everything planned out. Father God, you knew the events that were going to take place this past week and the weeks prior to that. Lord, you knew the message that you was going to lay up on my heart and determine what I was going to do today. Lord, you knew the songs that Christine would have chosen out to sing the Lord. Great is our faithfulness, and Father, I'm trading in my sorrows. Father, you know those songs that we're going to be singing today. And Lord, it's just amazing when we sit back and watch how you put things together. And Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in the midst of us. We thank you for bringing the songs and the message together to Lord and tying them in. Father, this is your service. This is your church. This is your people, Lord. Father, we give it all to you. We place it in your hands. Lord, we ask for your will and way to be done in our lives. And Father, in each and every one of us here today, I pray that you defeat the devil, bind him up, cast him outside this service. He's not welcome here, Lord. Get rid of him. Bind him up, Father. I pray that you'd open up our hearts, open up our minds, open up our ears, the Lord. Bless us to receive the word that you've laid upon our heart to deliver. Father, hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Father, use me, speak through me, the Lord, that I'd say the words that you've laid upon my heart to say, that it's of you, the Lord, not of me. Hide me behind the cross today. Fill me with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Bless me to be able to deliver your word, Father, with power and boldness from on high. Father, may your word go forward. May it cut where it needs to cut. May it pierce where it needs to pierce. May it lodge where it needs to lodge, the Lord. Father, may we not be the same people as what we were when we came here today. May we be renewed, refreshed, and revived, that when we leave here, the Lord, that we can be about the Father's business. Lord, we pray your blessings upon this service today. We give it to you. And Father, unless you show up, nothing's going to happen. But we thank you for filling your presence already here today. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to accomplish and what you're going to do. The hearts and lives that will be changed today through the preaching of the power of your word. Father, demonstrate your power is only what you can do here today. We're going to praise you and give it to you. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. We're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 4, and let's look at verses 1 through 7. It says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, I want you to focus in some things right here. It says, read it again. I want you to focus in this first verse and key in on it, and we're going to key in on several verses. It said, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant dear feared the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen, to be slaves. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in thy house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go and borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels bar, not a few. Go buy all that you can. And when thou art come into, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy son, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and she shut the door upon her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed, it ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. When I thought about this, I thought about several things that have happened in the past, several things that are going on, several things that had happened over this past week. We got Miss Christine here, bless you. Appreciate you, Miss Christine, being here. And her husband, David, only 42, 43 years old, passed away this week. What a tragedy. What a tragedy, knowing a breadwinner. And as I thought about this verse of scripture, And it goes through, it says, the prophet unto Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. I thought about Christine, and I told her, I said, you bless my heart being here today. I said, I don't know what it is about the events of the week, but here we go. Here we have a widow lady. Here we have a widow lady in the scripture. Her husband has passed away. But not only that, it says unto the prophets of Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that he was a servant and did fear the Lord. And then not only that, it said the creditor has come. Anybody ever have a problem with a creditor? You know, the creditor has come. And so we see that sometimes these things happen. Sometimes these things wasn't prepared. Sometimes we've got to be ready, folks. We don't know when our time is up, and we don't know what's going to happen. And so we see this woman here. Her husband, the breadwinner, has passed away. Now, not only that, but we see here comes the creditor. The creditor has come. He's taken, and not only that, he's come to take unto my two sons to be a bondsman, to be a slave. Here he is. There's things that have mounted up right here. There's things that are going on in this first verse that we see. Number one, this lady, she came with a problem. She came with a problem in this first verse. Her problem was her husband has passed away. He was the source of all living. Not only that, she had earthly possessions. And all the earthly possessions, according to verse 2, the creditors had done and taken it all. Because in verse 2, Elijah says, what shall I do for thee? Tell me what thou hast in thy house. And she goes through and says, not anything in thy house, save but a pot of oil. A pot of oil, that's all we have. So here this woman comes, and she has some problems that she's bringing to the Lord, to Elijah, the man of God. You know, number one was her husband has passed. Her source of living and income is gone. Number two, all the earthly possessions that she has, the creditors have came and got it. And then not only that, but now they're coming back to get her two children. Now they're coming back to get her two children and to go and make them to become slaves. And we see all this is going on, but she came to the right place. We see that she came to the man of God. She came to Elijah. She knew, my friends, that her husband was a man that served the Lord. He was one that feared God. And we see that. And I thought about the events of this week. And I thought about this first verse covering so many things. You know, some things that happened in some family situations this week, where people have lost everything in the bank, where some finances have become a problem, where there's some folks that are, the creditors are showing up at the door, where there's some this past week that's lost loved ones. We are faced with several things, but I'm telling you, you're in the right place at the right time to bring your problems and cast them on Jesus. He said, I'm trading in my sorrows. I'm trading in my sorrows, and we're going to see about God's faithfulness in a little bit. I'm trading them in. Lord, here's my pain. Here's my sorrow. Here's my sickness. Lord, whatever's going on. Here's my creditors, Lord. Here's my loved one that's passed. Lord, I'm trading it in. I'm giving all my sorrows to you. Lord, I can't take it no more. All this is mounting up on me. I don't know what to do. My minds are turning in a million directions. As I sit with about 3 hours with Miss Christine, and we chatted about things and about history and things that she's going to be facing and things that's going through, and we prayed about it. I said, God knows. God knows. He's in control of all this. He's got a plan. He's going to work it out. But your mind begins to run, and you think about a thousand things. Not only that, but Brother Jimmy and Miss Sandy go to the doctor, you know, looking for some great news. And man, a doctor has a way of knocking you off the feet, don't he? You know, but it didn't work for Brother Jimmy. And you know, the doctor says, well, this is the best it's going to get for you. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And he says, I understand you loud and clear, but you need to understand God's in control of my life. Amen, amen, Brother Jimmy. Amen. I understand you loud and clear. I understand what you're saying, but I understand God's in control of my life, not you, Dr. Batting Horse, and I love you, but you could go bat on another horse because this one ain't listening. Amen. Amen. You know, and things mount up on you, and things happening, and things going on, and events of the day. And we see this is where this woman was. But we see the man of God of Elijah being the man that he was and understanding in Philippians 4:19. You know, it said it, when it talks about problems, it talked about this lady's husband being passed away, the breadwinner being gone. It talked about the creditors coming, taking everything out of the house, and then wanting to come back and take her two sons and make them into slaves. But Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." He shall supply your need. He knows what it is you have need of today. Me and you just need to be willing to turn it over to him and give it to him. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you're going on. He knows what you're going through. Can we be faithful to give it to him and turn it over to him and let God do what only God can do? Show up and be only what God can be. Some things are taken out of your control, taken out of my control, but God's got it under control. We just need to have faith enough, believing in him and turning it over to him. Not only that, but she came with what she thought was important. She came with what she thought was important in verse 1. She says, "Thy servant is my husband is dead, thy servant. Thou knowest that the servant did fear the Lord." Let me just tell you something. It doesn't matter whether you're a servant. It doesn't matter whether you fear the Lord or not. Understand something. Jesus was persecuted for you and me. My friends, and because of the sin that's entered into humanity, we all are sinned and come short of the glory of God. But because of that sin, my friend, death had passed on everybody. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher, a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, or whatever, serving the Lord with all your heart. My friend, as God tarries his coming, we're all going to face death one day. It doesn't matter about being a servant. Here she was trying to justify to Elijah, "My husband, thy servant is dead." Elijah knew he was serving the Lord. Elijah knew that he was a man of God. Elijah knew he feared the Lord. She didn't have to share that, but she was trying to share that with him. She thought it was something of importance. My friend, God ain't worried about our spiritual credentials. He's not worried about that. That's not going to stop us from dying one day. But my friends, when you're saved and you got Jesus in your heart, it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We know that one day we'll enter and gain into his presence. Because of sin, death has passed on everybody. Regardless of whether you're a pastor, a preacher, a deacon, a teacher, or whatever you are, it doesn't matter about our spiritual credentials. And James says, "For what is your life? It's a vapor. Appear for a little while and vanish away." So we see she was mounted up. She had all these problems and stuff. Not only that, but she discovered what was really important in life. When you look at verse 2, Elijah said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? What shall I do for thee?" And he said, "Tell me, what hast thou in thy house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in thy house save a pot of oil." Then he says, my friend, listen to me. All God wants to know is what do you and I have available that he can use to multiply. All God wants to know is what do you have in your household? What do you have in your life? What do you have so that he could put his hands of blessings upon it and multiply it? He's worried about what do we have that we're willing to give? What do we have that we're willing to sacrifice? You recall the story in John chapter 6 and verses 1 through 14 dealing with the loaves, the five loaves and the two fishes. You recall the story. That's all that had to feed multitudes of people. But with God, with man, they questioned, his disciples questioned him, said, "We don't got no money to go buy enough food for all these people. What are we going to do?" And the little lad had five loaves of bread and two fishes, and God grabbed that from him, and he blessed it and multiplied it, and it was used to feed every person that was there. Then they had enough to fill up another basket full for all the disciples to take with them. It was running over because God demonstrated his power and what he wanted to do in your life and my life. My friends, he wants to know, what do you have available to him that he can put his hand upon it and he can multiply it and bless it and use it for his honor and glory? Look at verses 3 through 5 again. It said, then he said, Elijah said to her, he says, "Go buy thee vessels abroad, all the neighbors, even empty vessels, bar not a few." He said, "And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee, and upon thy sons thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that was full. So she went from him. So she went. I'm about to choke on this thing. I have to come out of this shirt. Bending down right here. Y'all are going to forgive me. Loosen up. It says, so she went in verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons and brought the vessels to her. And she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. When I thought about that, and I thought about this situation, and I thought about what the Lord, and how was he instructing Elisha, and what Elisha was doing to share with this widow woman, and what was going on with that, and things of that nature. And I thought about what God needs from you and me. I thought about when he asked this woman, he asked her, what does she have in the house? She said, nothing but a pot of oil. Then he says, I want you to go to your neighbors. I want you to go to those people that are around you. I want you to ask them for their vessels. I want you to bring some in. I want you to get some empty vessels and bring them with us. And I thought about, God is the same way for you and me. All he wants is a willing vessel. All he wants to use is an empty vessel. One that is empty and open up the heart and life to him. One that is available to him. One that is empty to allow the Lord to fill us up with his blessings. My friends, the only way that God can use you and me as vessels, he's waiting, my friends. He's got an overabundance of oil. He's got an overabundance, my friend, of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost power. He's got an overabundance that is flowing. He's got, thank you, David. He's got all that's going on. God has it under control. He's got it all lined up. He knows. He's got a full and an endless supply. Endless supply right there. But my friends, he wants an empty vessel. He wants you and me. My friends, what do we got to do to let him fill us up? We got to open up the top. We got to open up the heart. My friend, we got to let the Lord remove the blinders from you and me. If we expect to be used of the Lord, he can't pour nothing into a heart that's closed off to him. He can't pour nothing into a heart and a mind that's closed off to him. We want to be used of the Lord. First and foremost, we got to let him take the top off. We got to let him open up our heart. And my friends, when he does that, then God begins to use you and me. He begins to fill us up. He begins to pour into our life. He begins to multiply our life and pour into us if we allow him to. If we open up our heart and open up our lives, the Spirit of God begins to flow in you and me. He begins to use us. We begin to be the prayer warriors that he desires us to be. We begin to be the witnesses he desires us to be. We begin to be the Christians he desires us to be. We begin to have our prayer life in order that he desires to hear and communicate from you and me. We begin to have a prayer life. We begin to study his Bible like 2 Timothy 2:15 says, to study to show thyself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we begin to be that. We begin to do what he tells us in Hebrews, forsake not thyself the assembly of God as a manner of some is, that when the God's house is open, we're there. And we begin to be filled up. We begin to be used for his honor and glory. David, come up here. We begin to be used. Marissa, come up here. We begin to be used, and God begins to use us. Come up here. And we begin to be opened up our lives and open up our hearts. God's got an endless supply. We open up our hearts. He pours into us. My friends, when he pours into his life in David, David gets full of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Then David's job is to do what? David's job is to do what? Open up the top of somebody else. David's job is beginning to do what? Is to pour into the life of somebody else. David gets filled up with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. But God begins to deal with David. David's life has been full. My friend, when it's filled up, you and I can't be used of the Lord. We got to let God pour us out and pour us into another person. Once we're poured into a life of another person, then David has invested in the life of Marissa and then Marissa's got a jar there. What do you got to do, Marissa? You got to pour it into that life. You got to pour it into another person's life. It's the same thing as discipleship. It's the same thing that we've been wanting to do, is we fill up and then we pour into somebody and we pour into their life. And every time the Lord gives me a humdinger message, Satan tries to take my voice. And you begin, get a message ready tonight. And you begin to pour into the life of somebody else. My friends, thank you. I'm going to sit down. And that's the way that the cycle begins. And then, my friend, at the end, when it pours into this life, it pours back in. Then what does we do? Start all over again. Pour it back. And then let God begin to pour in our lives again. Start back with David again, as I said. And God begins to fill David back up. David begins to pour into another person's life, discipleship, evangelism, pours into somebody else's life. Marissa gets filled up again. Marissa begins to pour in somebody else's life. And it carries on, so forth and so on. And you get the picture? It starts, my friends, with an empty vessel. And then we begin to go. And God begins to bless. And we begin to open up. And it begins to flow. What do you have available for the Lord to use? What do you have in your life that God wants to use? First and foremost, you got to open up your heart. Open up your life. You got to let the Lord remove the lid from your life and from your heart so he may begin to pour his blessings in you, so he can begin to pour his life into you and to do what God has intended for him to do. This is what he told this lady here in verse 3. He said, then said, go and borrow these some vessels abroad, all of thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Get you as many as you can. He said, and thou art come, when thou come in, shut the door upon thee and upon thy son, and thou shalt pour out into all these vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. That which is full, God is blessing. If we take that which is full and we set it aside, God can't begin to bless in it. You're going to see something else when I draw this conclusion in a minute. And it says, so he set it aside, that which was full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her son, and brought the vessels to her. And she did what? Poured out again. Poured out so that God began to use. And when it came to pass, these vessels were full. When it came to pass, they were filled up to the top. All these vessels were put full. They were filled up. Every one of them was full. And they said unto her, son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is no more vessel. And the oil stayed. And when I think about these verses, I think that she discovered what was important in life. She discovered what God's will was for her life. She discovered that she needed to be an empty vessel. She discovered that Elijah said, go and get this. And she went, as Elijah said. Look at verse 5. So she what? So she went. Elijah told her what to do. The man of God was sitting there sharing her what to do. So she went. You hear the word of God preached every Sunday after Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. What are we doing with the word of God? What are we doing with it? What do we have to make offer to him? What do we have available to him? And so she went from him and shut the door upon herself and her son and brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. My friends, it's time that when we get God's word, as Elijah said, you need to go. He said, and then shut the door and pour it out. Get into that prayer closet. Get into the place where you need to be and go and take God's word and get in that quiet place with him and let God begin to use you. And as you begin to pour out into other people's lives, so you begin to disciple other people, so you begin to invest in their lives, and you begin to evangelize. And when we people to the Lord, we've got to invest in people's lives. We got to put action in it. We've got to open up our hearts and let the Lord fill us up with the precious power of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God and fill our lives up and then invest in other people's lives and pour out. And when that person gets invested and their life gets invested in, and they begin to get discipled, and God begins to grow them, and they begin to be willing to be used of the Lord, my friend, then they empty themselves out into another person. They empty themselves out into another life. And God begins to bless. And it's carried on and carried out in that fashion. So we see here, she obeyed and did what she could do in these verses. Not only that, but she shut herself in with God. Some of us need to just have a quiet time and shut ourselves in with the Lord to see what God wants to do in your life, in my life. And so we see here, she began to pour out the oil into the empty vessels. They might have been big, there might have been some small, round, tall, painted or plain. My friend, every kind of vessel was being filled. They only had one thing in common. In order to be filled, they had to be emptied out. In order to be filled, they had to be emptied out. Are you ready to empty yourself out on the altar of God? Are you ready to empty yourself out for the Lord? Are you ready to allow Him to fill you with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God? Are you allowing Him to use you so that you can invest in the lives of others, so that He can use you, fill you up, and pour you out into the others, my friends? He wants to use you today. Where are you? In 2 Timothy. And 2, in verse 20 and 21, it says this. It says, but in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be what? He will be what? A vessel. Where are we at here? A vessel shall be a vessel of what? If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be what? A vessel unto honor, sanctified and meant for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Y'all were sleeping. What's wrong with you? I've been preaching for 20 minutes. You can't even follow me up here. What's going on? A vessel of what? Honor. You have to be opened up and let the Lord to pour into you, clean you up and clean you out so you become a vessel of honor, sanctified and meant for the master's use, meant for him and prepared for every good work. My friends, what He wants us to do, open up our heart, open up our life to Him. Listen to me. The preacher can only preach the Word. That's all I can do. It's up to you to accept the Word and apply the Lord. Apply the Word and let the Lord fill your cup up. Let the Word and the Lord fill your vessel up so that you can be used and poured out into another vessel. Not only that, Her ability to receive ended before God's ability to provide. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. It says this. It said, and it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And then the oil stayed. The oil ceased. My friends, we owe this world the truth. We owe the world the truth. My friends, when we allow ourselves to be filled with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, an endless supply of oil, an endless supply of His Word, an endless supply of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, an endless supply of the oil, as you well know, Elijah and the widow's mite. My friend, when she was there, all she had was a little bit of meal and oil to bake a cake, and Elijah came on the scene. She had faith enough in Elijah and in God that when Elijah told her what God had said, she went and she baked that cake and used the last bit of that oil to provide for Elijah. And my friends, every time that she went back to that meal bucket for 3 years, it said, she would scoop up the last bit of oil. She would scoop up the last bit of meal and make a cake. But every time she went back, there was enough in there provided for her to make another one for 3 years. For 3 years, God did that and provided. My friends, and He has an endless supply. He wants us to pour into one another, pour into each other's lives, my friend. He's got an endless supply, and this water has really gained. I'm telling you, it's like Jesus. I keep filling it up and pouring out something. It gets fuller and fuller and pouring it into those vessels. And we as the vessels go from one another till we get to the point where God pouring in our vessel. He's pouring into our lives. He's pouring into the cup of God. And then it begins to overflow. And then the saucer begins to overflow. And like that old song says, my friend, old song says, I'm drinking from a saucer. Woo! Because my cup is overflowing. Yeah! I couldn't wait to get to that part. I almost wanted to take off here. Drinking from our saucer because our cup is overflowing. Look at Mark. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup is overflowing. Pouring into the lives of one another. Filling it up. Filling it up and overflowing. God can't just use a full vessel. My friend, when it gets full, we want God to continue to pour into it so we continue to overflow, filling up the saucer so we're drinking from our saucer because our cup is overflowing. Are you willing? Are you ready to let God have a part of you? Are you willing to be a part of what God wants to do? He tells us in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19 and 20, he said this, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I thought about a thing that was wrote, I found. It was a tale of a young man who was seeking God. He went to a well-known, wise, aged individual for help. He asked him, how could he find God? This old aged man took him to a nearby river, and they waded out into the deep water. When the water got up to their chins, the old man took the young man by the neck, and he pushed him under the water. He held the young man down until the young man was flailing all around, and the man took the young man by the neck and held him under the water some more. And the water, in desperation, another minute, and the young man would have drowned. It said, finally, he let this young man up, and they found their way back to the bank. And the young man asked, why did you have to do this? Why did you have to do this in order for me to find God? The old man asked, while you were under the water, what did you want more than anything else? And the young man said, air. And the old man replied, when you want God as much as you wanted air, and you open up your heart to him, you'll find him. When you want God as much as you want air, when you come to a point in your life where you depend upon God more than you depend upon air, you will know what it means, my friend, to be filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Praise team, y'all can come back up. My friends, listen to me. Listen to me. Just as this woman here, Elijah gave several instructions. Just as we see right here, my friend, in verse 1, you might be facing some things. You might be going through some issues. You might have lost a loved one like Christine has this past week. You might be facing the creditors knocking on your door. You might be facing a sickness that a doctor says is about the best it's going to get. You might have heard all that this week. But understand something. God is still in control. God is still in control regardless of what you're facing. God is still in control, and he wants to take control of your life and my life. But my friend, all he wants is an empty vessel. All he wants is an empty vessel. Will you open up your heart? Will you open up your life? Will you allow God to use you, my friend? Will you allow God to use you as an empty vessel? Will you allow him to pour into your life, my friend? And when he fills you up, will you pour into somebody else's life? And then when that person gets filled up, they pour into somebody else's life. And it begins to grow. And people begin to grow. And we begin to be filled up. And then your life begins to fill up some more that it's overflowing the cup, running into the saucer. And we're drinking from the saucer because the cup is overflowing. And then that cycle continues on from generation to generation. Will you open up your heart today? What do you have in the house? You might only have a pot of oil. But my friends, if you're obedient to use it, God will put his blessings upon it and multiply it for his honor and glory. Where are we at today? Maybe you've never opened up your heart's door. My friend, maybe you need to be saved. You come and I share with you in Scripture what you must do to be saved. Maybe you're here and looking for a church home. We would love to be your home. I'd love to be your pastor. Maybe you're here and you need to pray that God will open up your heart, open up your life, and you become an empty vessel, an honor to be used for his honor and glory to pour into the life of somebody else. Maybe that's you. I don't know, but I know God is working in this place today. I know he's knocking on your heart's door. Once you open up and let him in, won't you be obedient to the call of God upon your life today? Well, everybody stand as we sing. You be obedient to the call of God upon your life today. You come as we sing.